Both of these Gospels in their own way speak about choice. God chose the Jews. God chose Peter to be an apostle, but to be also the leader of the apostles, and therefore a particularly responsible person for the presence of Christ on earth. I'll get to that in a moment. And so we're in the book of Deuteronomy now. Deuteronomy is to the first four books of the Torah what John is to the first three books of the New Testament. Sort of sums up and puts the accent on love. Huh? Fear the Lord your God and follow his ways. Love and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I enjoin on you today for your own good. That's what the Lord asks, you see. Now we know, because we've already read all about the covenant, this already is a response. This is a response to God's choice of Israel, to his rescuing of them from Egypt. Have they all been perfect? No. But have we? I mean, we feed on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We have a guarantee that the church cannot err in any important matter. Isn't that wonderful? We can't get mixed up. And that's the role of the Pope, as we'll get to in a moment. And so, the description of God here, he has no favorites, accepts no bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and befriends the alien, feeding and clothing him. So you too must befriend the alien, for you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt. See how the Lord is trying to teach us humanity, to be really human, like our Lord Jesus Christ was really human. How many times in the Gospels do we read when someone came and asked for healing? First thing we hear is he was moved to compassion. He wasn't a professional healer. You see, he was moved to compassion. And that we're supposed to imitate. Huh? And so, he is your glory. He, your God, who has done for you these great and terrible things which your own eyes have seen. And that's nothing compared to what he accomplished on the cross for you and for the whole human race. So that's why we got to go tell him. Now, the it's a very interesting gospel. We have a prediction of the Passion. Now, that's usually followed by a totally inept response on the part of the disciples. First time, Peter says, "Oh, far be it from you, Lord." And Jesus says, "Out of my way, Satan. You talk like that, you talk like Satan. Out of my way." This is the future Pope. But he's going to make sure he knows who, what the will of the Lord is, the will of the Father. You see, the second time, they're arguing on the way, who's the greatest? We're too sophisticated to actually argue like that, you know. We wouldn't, it would be so gauche. But we think like that, which isn't any better. And so that's the second reaction to the response to the second prediction. They're arguing about who's the greatest. And he's just told them, the greatest. Look what's going to happen to him. And then, finally, the last one, he predicts his passion for the third time in the synoptic tradition. And James and John want to be first, you know. And in Matthew, it's mom who comes, Jewish mother comes, and says, I want my boys to be number one and number two in your kingdom. And Jesus says, You see, you don't get it. Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to receive? You know, are you going to? Can you go through with the cross? They say we can, and he says you will, but right and left I can't give you. But here is another interesting. The temple tax had to be paid in Jewish coins. That's why there were money changers all the time at the temple, to take the Roman imposed money and change it for temple money to pay the tax. So they're asking, how come doesn't he pay the temple tax? They're trying to get something on him. But before Peter had a chance to speak, and see, they asked Peter this. They wouldn't ask Jesus. He says, what's your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners? When he said from foreigners, then Jesus said to him, then the subjects are exempt. We don't have to pay a temple tax. He's our God who's worshipped in that temple. But that we might not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, take the first fish that comes up, open its mouth, and you'll find a coin worth twice the temple tax. What's so mysterious, I mean, like, about that? Well, give that to them for you, for me, and for you. And there we start to get a glimpse of the gift of having one of the successors of the apostles given this role. And when he's teaching on faith and morals, he cannot make a mistake. That's what infallibility is all about. And the last time that was really invoked was with all the push to have women ordained. And you know, they went through the whole thing and prayed and studied and looked at the tradition, and finally Benedict said, in my role as the successor of Peter, and therefore infallibly, I tell you, women cannot be ordained. Well, in our culture, have somebody say they're infallible. You see, if you don't have faith, what are you thinking? You know? And then the women can't be priests. My goodness. In other words, can they be saints? Well, look at the one we got today. Founded an order. And it's more important to be a saint than to be pope. Right? If Dante is correct, there's a couple of popes in hell. I mean, like, I hope they're not. But this raising of Peter up to this role, pay the tax for the two of us. He's already starting to adumbrate this mystery of having one among us unable, teaching solemnly in his role of the successor of Peter, unable to teach falsehood. Isn't that marvelous? And where do you think we'd be without it? Look where we are with it. How much confusion, how much bad doctrine flying around. And there, you see, and then those around him who can help him and counsel him, but there comes a point where he's got to go away by himself, open up the scriptures and just pray. And then the Lord will tell him. And so you see, it's already adumbrated here. Pay that tax for you and for me, not for the other 11, they'll pay their own, but for you and me. Now this prominence of Peter is a characteristic of the Gospel of Matthew. You are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell. That's in Matthew. And so is this. So just think what a gift it is. Huh? The Lord, knowing our weakness, our mental weakness especially, guarantees the truth. Now, the Pope doesn't just shoot it off. But months, years of study, consultation, you know. But he finally comes to a conclusion and he has to take the brunt of it. I declare, in this latest case, you know, or I declare that the Mother of God was assumed body and soul into heaven. So now we know she's there. That's infallible. All right. Now, you're going to tell us at the end of Mass what you're doing, right? Okay. Then we're going to pray over Bernadette. She and her family are moving down to Virginia.